If you would like to follow along, Jordan has asked us to read from John chapter 4. While you're finding that, as we sang the song, There's a Fountain Free, many times when someone offers us something free, there's two reactions. One of them is, that's great. Maybe it's something that we can use, or a cooler full of meat or something, and it's a good gift. And sometimes people offer us something free, and you know that there's a catch. And I had that happen one time. We lived in the trailer. A man came to our door, and he knocked on the door, and I opened the door, and I didn't have a chance to say hi. He shoved a soda bottle in the door, and I was trying to figure out why this man would give me a free soda. That's what he said it was. It was a free soda. And along with that came an hour or an hour and a half of demonstration of a vacuum cleaner. So it really wasn't free. And I all but had to push him out the door. And I'd never left another one in again. But there was a cost for that, that soda. And here we see in John chapter 4 that Jesus offers the woman here something free. And we sang about that in number 133, there's a fountain free. It's something that is free, is offered to us, as it was the woman at the well, and we have to accept it. And sometimes in life, like I said, and sometimes free isn't always free, but I know that Christ's love and his redemption to us is free. We're going to start John chapter 4, reading verses 1 through 38. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the wall, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were going away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which has given us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thine husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man asked, What seekest thou? Or, Why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith unto the men, Come, see the man which told me all things that ever I did. "Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." But he said unto him, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Therefore saith the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" Jesus saith to them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look onto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." With this scripture on our minds, let us kneel for prayer.
Good evening. Just want to start off by saying thank you to you all for the hospitality that you extended to me and my family. Thank you to Andy and Renee for opening up their home, and for each one of you. God bless you. It's great to have a body of believers of like precious faith, that we can travel 500 or 600 miles and have brothers and sisters like you. If you want a topic for, or a title for tonight's sermon, it's called Help Wanted. When you travel around and you see different businesses, you might see a little sign in a window, or maybe a little, a couple words on the marquee out front, Help Wanted. Down in Lisbon Street in Maine, in Lewiston, there's this place called Labor Ready. And when you go down by that place, you might see guys standing on the street corner, on the sidewalk, getting ready to be a laborer for a local business. Labor ready. They're wanting to help out somebody that's looking for workers. I have an article that we clipped from a magazine. It is actually entitled Help Wanted. Get your pens out if you're interested. Anybody need a job tonight? The pay isn't much, and the hours will be long, but officials with the China's giant panda project and research center should expect a deluge of applications. After all, the job openings is entitled Panda Caretaker. Officials with the center, located in Sichuan province, advise that applicants must be at least 22 years old and have basic knowledge of pandas. According to the listing, which was posted in May and expires in July 15, your work has only one mission, and this is the mission: to spend 365 days with the pandas and share with them in their joys and sorrows. The new hire at the panda base will earn about $32,000 a year. So if you're interested, you can talk to me after the service. But to share in the panda's joys and sorrows, I thought that was a little humorous. Becca and I have been involved in running Keystone Masonry. And that's been a blessing. She takes care of the books and I take care of the jobs. One thing we've learned, though, over the years is to find help for such a business is a challenge. Sometimes we feel like Keystone has a revolving door for help. They come in one side and it's not too long till they go out the other side. And it's hard on me sometimes to see that, because I see the other side. I see the calls coming in. I see the opportunities that are all around. I see the different avenues that we could expand into and be a part of. I see the jobs that I have to say no to. And sometimes that tugs at my heart. Whether that's good or bad, it does tug at my heart, because I like to see those opportunities and to take a hold of them and seize them. I want everyone to turn to Matthew 9, At the end of Matthew 9, we see something very similar in the heart of Jesus. Verses 37 and 38. As my heart gets tugged to see more mortar and stone and brick being put together and more avenues being taken, I believe that that is a correlation to the heart of Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. For he says, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And I can identify with that because I look around and I say, look at all these opportunities. Look at all these people that we could be a part of. Look at all these different contacts that we could make. Wow. And in Matthew 9, Jesus says, there's so much work to do. There's so many contacts out here that we could be making. But the laborers are few. And I feel a little connection there because I know what that feels like. And Jesus says, pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus is calling out to you tonight, brothers and sisters, to be part of his work crew. He wants you to be part of his crew. He wants you to be willing to go out and be the laborer in the field. Because there's so much work to do, but so few workers. Now we'll turn to John 4. And we'll just look at that for a little bit. There's probably 20 or 30 sermons that could be preached out of this. We're not going to go through that all. But let's just talk about it a bit. John chapter 4. A little bit of the background here. Jesus seems to be having a little bit of conflict with the Pharisees, and he's moving out of their territory in Jerusalem or in the Judea area, and he's making his way up to Galilee and going through Samaria, the land of Samaria. Some Jews didn't want to go through that land. They'd go out around, but Jesus was going to go right through and take, I believe, the more direct route. He was going to go through the land of Samaria, which and head out to Galilee. We see him traveling up to the city of Sychar, which was in Samaria. We see him stopping at a well. We see him sending off the disciples to get something, some provisions. We see the woman coming to Jesus who was alone at the well. We see the providence of God shaping the situation for a teaching moment. For a teaching moment for the disciples, for a teaching moment for the woman. This didn't normally happen. Things like this, the woman coming at this time of day and a Jewish man talking to a Samaritan woman. These things just didn't happen. God's providence was bringing this all together and his hand was over it all. Making this all form into a beautiful picture and a beautiful time that this woman could learn who Jesus was. The disciples were out getting food, and Jesus was alone to set the stage for this conversation for about obtaining water. And then the disciples come back to witness the end of this conversation, seeing Jesus breaking down the social barrier here that existed between the Jews and the Samaritans. Could it be that he was preparing the disciples for the great commission that he would give them later to go into all the world and teach all men? The disciples here, later on in the verses, it says, in the meanwhile, in verse 31, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And the disciples were thinking in the physical realm. They were thinking of the actual meat or food that they had brought to him. And Jesus brings it down into the spiritual realm, or steps it up into the spiritual realm, and talks to his disciples about what actually keeps him going, what is most important in his life, what nourishes him and sustains him and keeps him going, and that is to do the Father's will. My meat is to do the Father's will. Back when he was a boy, he told his parents in the temple, "Would you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Jesus' singular focus, his singular desire, was to be about his Father's business, or his Father's will, to do his will, to do his work. It says here in these verses, it says to do his will and to finish his work. We look back into Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where it's the first prophecy of this redemptive work that Jesus was a part of, that Jesus was the beginning of the work. Jesus' end goal here on earth was to finish the work that John 19:30 says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, despising the shame, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. He started it and he finished it. He was all for the work of the Father. This redemptive work, buying back the human race. Later in these verses, in chapter 4, we see Jesus' call to labor. He's calling his disciples to labor. The setting, I don't know the setting completely, but possibly as they're sitting up there around the well, would they be looking across the fields of grain? It says, Jesus is saying, you're saying right now, this is the time of season where we have 4 months before harvest. That's in the physical realm, disciples, but no, now is the time for harvest. Now is the harvest is ready. And I'm not a farmer, but I can imagine that when you have a crop pushing its grain, the heads are full, it's time to go. You're not going to be sitting at home on waiting. Don't wait. Also, as you think of them looking over the fields of grain, think about them looking over the city of Sychar and the Samaritans coming out of the city, coming to Jesus to meet him. For this woman said, "Come see a man that told me everything about me. Is not this the Messiah?" And they came out to see them, to see him. And Jesus knew what was going to take place, for many believed on him in the next couple days. Jesus explains in these last few verses here of our text about how there is sowing and reaping continually in the kingdom of God. Some sow, some reap. We're all working at this together. Just because you sow isn't necessarily that you're reaping. There might be another person that comes in and reaps the grain. My wife and I got married in 2007. And in the spring of 2009, we moved into a house in Lewiston, Maine, answering a call that came forth to us to live in downtown Lewiston on Horton Street, also known as the Brethren House. We answered this call put forth, for people saw the need to continue a light, to continue the witness in downtown Lewiston that Steve and Mary Lou Clapper had started when they bought a house there and moved their family into that years earlier. We answered that call in 2009 and continued there for almost 4 years. And the experiences that we had there were many. They were vast. There were frustrations. There was funny times, there was strange times. Running the business, I always was a little sensitive about letting people know where I lived, because that part of the of Lewiston was known as a pretty hard spot. And I got on a job one time, and we got to talking about where I lived and said about in Lewiston, and he said, "You don't live on the tree streets, do you?" The tree streets are like pine and birch and all these names of trees that run parallel to one another in downtown Lewiston. And I don't live on a tree street. I just live on the one that runs perpendicular to the tree streets. But that was just one of those things. Soon after we moved in, there was a lady that came by. I was out by the garden and out front. And she looked up at me and said, "If I want to go to church, what time should I be here?" And that blew me away. I was thinking, this is going to be easier than I thought. They're coming out of the woodwork. But we did have these different experiences. Becca met with some Sudanese ladies across the street. She enjoyed her time with them there. She had a Bible study for another couple women one morning, led a devotional, and it was just what one of them needed, apparently. And she took the devotional book home to read. We had a lot of contact with children. We set up a basketball hoop, which we weren't totally sure if that was a good idea or not, because it was like all that thumping out in front of our house. But we were able to make a few contacts over that until I backed into the pole with my work truck. We had different experiences, and those experiences are continuing today. When we moved out, the BVS team moved in. And here are some stories written by the current house father, Zachary Nault. "Chris Flanagan is 20 years old. I have gotten to work with him a lot over the past year due to the fact that he needs to do around 1,100 hours of community service. He got into a domestic dispute with his mom, and rather than the police giving him jail time and a criminal record, they gave him the opportunity to have the hours of community service instead. It's been a very challenging journey with him, but all these hours together has given me the opportunity to talk about Jesus. Throughout the winter, we did a lot of studying on the life of Joseph. It was great watching him grow, yet very discouraging at times when it seemed like all the effort was pointless. In early spring, I introduced Chris to a Christian men's discipleship home a few blocks from the Lewiston Church. After some consideration, Chris agreed to join the men's home, and it was a huge turning point in his life. He has been smoke-free for 3 months and has gotten a job at Pioneer Plastics. Number two, Nerto is a 13-year-old Somali girl who has an ego and boisterous attitude that is unmatched. And we've gotten to know her well through Teen Center. That's through the Root Cellar, the Root Cellar program of the Teen Center. And some girls who were helping to run Teen Center were actually able to lead her to Christ. Elizabeth in the unit, Liz spent a lot of time doing secret Bible studies and helping her with homework. Secret Bible studies due to her being being of another faith. Unfortunately, Nerto was part of a group of girls who actually stole some money from Liz's purse. Liz actually took them shopping, not even realizing initially that everything they were buying was with the money they had stole from her. Relationships were pretty fractured for a day or two, but we decided as a unit that the best response was to heap coals of fire on their heads. Liz went and bought each of them little gifts, along with a personal note extending forgiveness and friendship, no matter their past decisions. Even though we did our best to repair friendships, there was a falling away for Nerto from that point, and we have nearly no interaction with her at this point. We still are excited about the seeds that were planted in her life. Her being a Muslim girl carries with it a lot of challenges. Arbai is another 13-year-old Somali girl who is spending a lot of time with us. We are very excited about the level of trust and openness she has towards us. She comes over for supper every Tuesday and joins Monica and Jaden at the park a few times a week. She came to Bible school a few times and has gone to a couple Christmas plays with us as well as going out playing disc golf to L.L. Bean for ice cream, the Gray Animal Sanctuary, and various other activities. A few months ago, we started having counseling sessions after all the teens left Teen Center. It only happened a few times, but it was something where she knew she could just let out her thoughts without judgment. A lot of it was silly stuff that gave me a headache, but it's all about showing a caring spirit and living out the love of God. It led to questions about who are atheists and why do the brethren women wear coverings? Why do we move here? Why do we do some of the things we do? As Arbi expressed some of the problems she faced, I started asking if I could pray with her about those specific issues. It's been absolutely amazing. God has been answering those prayers in powerful ways in which it points straight to Him and His love for her. I think she's afraid what it could mean if she gives in to God's call on her life. But yet, she can't just walk away. Just this week, God gave us another opportunity. A high school guy assaulted her with his skateboard. She came over crying and asking if we could press charges against him. We spent a long time talking about our options. One, she could get her older brothers to beat him up. Two, call the cops. Three, take the high road and apply forgiveness and allow me to go talk to the guy and see if we could sit down and have a group discussion about how we handle racial issues in our community. Tomorrow I plan on meeting the guy, and I hope with the direction of the Holy Spirit we can restore relationships between these teens. We'll see how it goes. I hope God shows himself strong. Whether he wraps up by saying, whether it's Arbi, Nerto, Chris, or many other people in my community, it all comes down to putting self in the background and making ourselves available to be the hands and feet of Jesus to the least of these and loving with no expectations. Becca and I have moved on from Horton Street. We now live out in Hebron. And you know, anywhere you go, you have opportunities to share the love of Jesus Christ, to share with your neighbors. We have an interesting situation going on just below us. We live out in those sticks. And would you believe somebody lives even more out in the sticks and they're beyond our driveway. And we get to talking sometime. And this man is a guy that I think he's like stuck in the 60s. And he likes to live off the grid. And he likes to be involved with troubled teens. And he tells me that he's trying to help people. He's trying to fix people. And I said, there's only one way to fix people. There's only one way. He's trying to give them hope. I said, I told him to give them hope. He said, that's what I'm doing, brother. I said, you have to make sure you're giving them the right hope. Anywhere you go, there's opportunity to talk to people about Jesus Christ. This evening, I have an application for you. I have a mental application that you can fill out. And there are three questions. And they're the RUs. Just as we talked about a business wanting to grow and expand and see opportunities, Jesus is saying the same thing in Matthew 9, 35 through 38. I failed to mention earlier what preceded that dialogue there, or that what Jesus was saying about pray that the Lord of the harvest send forth laborers into the field. It says that Jesus was going around and teaching all around. He was busy. He was teaching and preaching and healing. And he had compassion on the multitude because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And he saw all that work. And he wanted to help. And he did help. The first question is, are you willing to be a laborer in the Lord's business? Are you willing to step up into Matthew chapter 9 and answer that call? Answer that question. Answer that prayer. What is the Lord's business? Let's turn to 1 Timothy 2:4. First Timothy 2:4. Let's read a little bit before. It says about that these prayers be made for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Talking about God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Two parts, to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And that's what Brother Paul was talking about earlier. To have that proper balance, to have people out there sharing the gospel, to bring them into the fold and nurture them and exhort them up into the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's the business. That's the Lord's business. How about 2 Peter 2:3? No, 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. Says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is that not amazing to you tonight? To be able to throw yourself down. Anybody can throw yourself at the mercy of God. I'm not sure if I'd want to throw myself at the mercy of just anyone. But in that verse, he's not willing that any should perish. That's the Lord's business. That talks of his love. And John 3:16, that is, as we know, is also the Lord's business. He's not willing that any should perish. This is the Lord's work. This is a big part, the center, the core. This is the beginning for his desire for the human race to call on the name of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I have something to add to your prayer list. We listened to your prayer list this morning. And I have something to add. Could it be that we need to add this? In Spring Grove, according to a 2013 survey or census, you have 2,165 people living here. According to a 2010 census for York County, you have 434,972 people living in your county. Those that live in York County. And in the state of Pennsylvania, you have 12,702,379 people. And is it possible that you know one person out of those 12 million people that you can add to this prayer list? To pray, as Brother Paul said again about the Moravians, to pray night and day for that individual. I don't have this in my notes. I just had to think about it. But my dad is an example to me in this. He has spent hours and hours and hours interacting and talking to a Muslim man. And he's still Muslim. And he's part of our family. His daughter calls mom grandma. And I'd be surprised if there was a day that goes by where Ali is not prayed for by my parents. But I just challenge you, and I challenge myself, with the however many people that live in Hebron, is there one person that I need to be praying for every day? Can I pray for Gino, my neighbor, or Alan, my neighbor, or Roland, my neighbor? I know them. Should I be praying for them every day? This is the Lord's work. And are you willing to be a laborer in his business? And this work might include the following. Might and might not be limited to the following. Praying, singing, witnessing, working, socializing, shopping, going on mission trips, going on vacation. Do you know you can be a part of the Lord's work going on vacation and meeting new neighbors? Laboring in the field can involve all these things, because I'm a firm believer in not compartmentalizing your life. I'm not going to go witness today and tomorrow I'm going to work. You're in the Lord's business all the time. For in Colossians 3:23 it says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." The Lord does not want Jordan Keller to put one more stone in and build one more chimney for the glory of me. He wants me to put another stone in and build another chimney for the glory of God, because we get around to different situations and we are able to put forth a good quality product for the glory of God, because it's a good image on God's name. We are able to get into different situations and meet different people and share the love of Jesus Christ in different situations. We don't have to go too far to be part of the Lord's work. In John 4, Jesus seized the opportunity to preach at Samaria. The situation just called for it, and he preached. He taught, preached, and healed in Matthew 9. Are you willing to follow his example and be part of the Lord's work, to be a laborer in the Lord's work, in the Lord's business? Are you willing to be, this is question number two. Are you willing to be singular in your focus? In Hebrews 12:1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." When we enter into a race, our focus is singular. We want to get to the goal. We want to make it to the finish line. And that speaks to me of being singular in focus. And when we see the example of Jesus having this one singular focus, which we already talked about, which was to do the will of the Father, here at the well in John 4, and also in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thine be done." He was singular in his focus to do the will of the Father. No more moonlighting, brothers and sisters. Moonlighting means going out on your own and doing your own stuff. We're not called to moonlight when we're in the Lord's business. Putting away the selfish desires, the needs of ourselves get pushed to the back. Are you willing to be part of the Lord's business? Are you willing to be singular in your focus? And are you willing to go? Are you willing to answer that call from Matthew 9? When Jesus is saying, "Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest." Are you willing to go? I get around to different jobs and we have to talk. Somebody wants me to go over and talk about a job. There was one, I think we met twice, maybe even three times, talking about this job. And it wasn't that big of a job. It doesn't do any good just to talk about it. Just to talk about doing this. Just to talk about going. To strategize and think about going. Doesn't do any good unless you go. Unless you go and do. Going may be stepping across the street going, maybe going around the corner. Going, maybe fly across the world. Going into the fields can be done inside the home as well as outside of the country. As we remember our text for this morning, it says, go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And that speaks of starting close and going out. Starting close to home. How did you do on your survey or on your application? Are you willing to be part of the Lord's business? Are you willing to be singular in your focus? And are you willing to go? Let's wrap up with this. Are you willing to pray this prayer? God, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say, wherever you want me to go, let it be. Because I want what you want. Amen. We're going to offer a response at this time. If you feel God tugging on your heartstrings into a certain mission, or just into missions and you're not sure if it's a certain one, if you feel God calling you tonight, we'd invite you to stand where you are. I think we're going to sing a song for that while we do that. What number should we sing?
82.
82 in the green hymnal. I want to praise God for those that have responded, and I want to encourage you all to keep in prayers the two sisters and the brother that stood and feel that call to missions. The ministers would like to meet with all three of you after the service. Paul will take charge of that time, and I think at this time I'm just going to sign off, and God bless each one of you, and turn the service over. Thank you.
Thank you, brother, for that rousing, encouraging call to missions. I'd like to thank you on behalf of the Missions Committee, and Brother Eric, thank you as well for coming down here to share with us. And I'm sure our congregation here is very appreciative of your visit and the encouraging words that you shared today. Thank you for that. Well, missions. Mission Sunday is about over. All of us know that we can be missionaries and ought to be missionaries where we are. God didn't call all of us, obviously, to go to some faraway place, but we can all be a missionary and share God's word. There are some openings in missionary service in the state of Alaska, if you're interested, and I think I'll just share right now. We'll take a moment to mention them. We need a school teacher for this coming school year up in Alaska. And so if there would be some person here this evening who might feel called to fill in that capacity, please let one of the Missions Committee members know for this fall. Another need up in Alaska is the mission house is vacant. Brother Sam Booker and his family moved to another house further away, and so we could use a couple to move into that mission house for a few months or however long the Lord would lay that on your heart. So if that is something that interests you, you can see Brother Laverne or anybody on the Alaska Mission Committee. So there are a lot of opportunities to serve on the mission field, if the Lord is calling you. Don't be like the title of that mission book I saw one time. The title was, "Here Am I, Send Aaron." Let's not be like that. If the Lord calls you, you know it. And those, a few of you who indicated a desire for maybe someone to talk to you about missions, you may come up here, the front bench, after the service is over. If anyone is here who has a need other than missions, please come forward as well. If you sense the need for the most important decision of life, salvation, come forward. Someone would be happy to talk to you. So Mission Sunday is over, and yet I can't help but think, you know, I don't think there's any higher calling a person can have in life than to serve full-time as a missionary and serve the Lord in that capacity. Well, I'd like to thank each one of you for being here this morning and this evening. May God bless you for doing so. And for our speakers, may God give you traveling mercies as well as you head back to your home. At this time, let's come before the Lord in prayer by kneeling.